Turn with me in your Bibles, please, unto 2 Kings chapter 5. Just a few moments, I'm going to read you a very interesting story out of the Old Testament. A number of characters in it. But what I'm trying to draw your attention to is the fact that the Lord often turns great burdens into great blessings. That's the title of the message this morning. Great burdens into great blessings. Only our God can do that. I remember the time the children of Israel approached the Red Sea. The Bible said God led them not by the way which was near, but by way of the Red Sea. Placed that sea in front of them and the armies of Egypt behind them. And they murmured and they complained until the Lord showed them a great miracle and carried them across the Red Sea. Over and over and over again in the Scripture, we see things happen that are crisis-oriented as God brings people to a crisis point. And how they handle that crisis determines how God responds in the end. Every one of us here have had great burdens at times in our lives. It's what you do with those burdens that determine how they turn out in the end and how God responds to them. Let me give you a little background of this story. There's a number of people in it. There's Naaman. He's the captain of the host of the Syrian army, or general, if you will, commando. He was an interesting man. We are told in Josephus that when Syria attacked Israel and Ahab was killed, that he had deceptively disguised himself, and Naaman released an arrow into the crowd, and it struck Ahab in the joints of his armor, and he died. A powerful man. But all of a sudden, a crisis came to this man's life, and God used a heathen nation to judge his nation, Israel, and that can happen again today. But this man is part of the story. Then there's Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. And we see his reaction to his religion. He was a worshiper of Ramon. And next, Jehoram, which is the son of the wicked king Ahab. Ahab's not in this story because he had already been killed by Naaman prior to this. And there's a great battle that took place. And after that battle, a normal thing happened. They took some of the teenage young people from the defeated nation and they made slaves and servants out of them. And in this passage of Scripture, there is a little unnamed Jewish girl, probably a teenager, who is taken as slave to Naaman. Once you get a picture of this, her nation is defeated. We don't know what happened to her family, but she was carried away to be a slave in the household of the general that conquered Israel. Now, this is a great tragedy, and it's pretty clear it's a great tragedy. But what does God do with it? Because the key player in this whole passage of Scripture is this little Jewish maid. Follow with me as I read the first 14 verses, and I know that's a long passage, but I want you to get the gist of the whole story. 2 Kings 5, 1 through 14. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Here comes a crisis. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Typical human understanding. The king of Syria said, if there's somebody in Israel that can heal you, it must be the king of Israel. So I'll send him a letter. And how did that turn out? He brought the letter to the king of Israel saying, now when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. How was Naaman's reaction to that? Very interesting. Verse 11. Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, behold, I thought surely he would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Phaphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. I've seen people do that when they were witnessed to on numerous occasions. It sounds too simple. Here's what his servant said to him in verse 13. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean? So many people overlook the simplicity of salvation. They want to add a whole lot of things to it. Salvation is simply following the voice of God and yielding to Christ as your Savior. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. What a great miracle. But just how did it happen? What's behind all this miracle? Well, a young slave girl, probably a teenager, in captivity in Syria, is concerned about her master in the household. She's a servant in a place she's been taken away from her family. I want us to focus this morning on this little girl, this little unnamed agent, because when you see the result of the disaster when Naaman, a great mighty warrior, comes down with leprosy and there's nothing to be done, and you see him as he goes to Israel looking for the wrong person, and you see him rejecting the simple way to get his cleansing, how did all this take place? When you have a crisis come to your life, the first question you ask is, why me, Lord? How did this happen to me? Well, I want you to look at this little girl and some of the most interesting things about her that brought about such a monstrous change. Because her reaction at being a slave girl brought about the cleansing of Naaman. And Naaman took home some dirt from the house of Elisha and built an altar and worshiped Jehovah God and became a proselyte to the true religion, leading people in a heathen land to Christ. What an amazing story. Because of how God used this little girl. First of all, let's see her spiritual attitude toward her circumstances. What about your circumstances? Well, there are things happen to you that you can do something about, and there are other things happen to you that you can't do anything about. So what do you do when you can't do anything about it? You pray. You leave it to God. And you let God handle the problem. First of all, she's away from home. Taken captive by a band of wicked men and sold into slavery. She's away from her family. How do you act when you're away from your family? This passage teaches us clearly how this little girl reacted when she was away from her family. She's away from her friends. She's away from familiar circumstances. And anybody can get homesick. We're told in Genesis chapter 31, verse 30, about Jacob's homesickness. Laban said to him, "And now thou dost would certainly be gone, because thou hast been very desirous for the house of thy father." You ever had a little homesickness? I wonder some of you freshmen right now have experienced this. You'd rather be at home, but God has put you in a place that He wants you to learn something and to do something. How many are able to display a spiritual attitude away from home when no one else is watching and no one else is there? Well, she said she was going to be submissive to her God. And she waited on Naaman's wife, which indicates that she did her job well. I don't know about you, but it'd be hard for me not to be bitter. To have the nation destroyed by a heathen army, to be carried away as a slave, to constantly be asking the question, why did this happen to me? What about my problems? What about my burden? What about me? But that's not what she said. It's very fascinating to me that she's not only away from home, she's away from any help of another human. I mean, here's the general of the armies of Syria. Who's going to come to his house and take this little girl home? When you get in certain crisis or burdens in your life, you look all over the place trying to find help, and yet the scripture here has clearly told us that our help is from the Lord. And she knew this. She was that spiritual. She prayed to her God. What's your spiritual attitude when something's happened that makes you uncomfortable, or it's not to your liking, or it's not to your pleasing? This young girl says, for me, there's no way of escape. I can't fight my way out of this general's house. I don't have anybody to come here and rescue me but one person, the God I serve. And her faith comes out in this. David knew this feeling often of being alone. The Lord preserveth the simple, and I was brought low, and He helped me, the book of Psalms tells us. Every time David is dejected in difficult circumstances, has had something happen to him he didn't like, he turned to the Lord. That's why he was such a great man of the Lord. This seems to be such a simple lesson, but for some reason so hard for us to learn. There's so many people we'd rather turn to than the Lord. Job said this of the Lord when he's going through horrible circumstances. He said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. It's true, young people, that man's extremity is God's opportunity. God often allows or arranges burdens and crisis to come to our lives because it is his opportunity to teach us something. And Job learned that. And in the end, Job was given twice as much as he had before because God took care of his fear. He had fears. He was a man of much fear, according to chapter 1. But God delivered him. And he became one of the greatest characters in the Old Testament. The book was probably written between the 11th and the 12th chapter of Genesis. It was the oldest complete book we have in the scripture. Well, secondly, I'd like for you to see her spiritual attitude toward her captor. And that's in verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. What a powerful sentence. What a wonderful story. Here she is in these difficult circumstances that she can't do anything about, and she's praying for her captor. She's praying for the man that's partially, if not totally, responsible for her not being at home, for her being in slavery. Her compassion is shown here. Would God. In other words, I have a strong desire that you would know my God. She's witnessing to this heathen general. She has a desire to see him come to God, and that desire is greater than her discomfort in her circumstances. She's overwhelmed by this desire. Moses said it this way in Numbers 11:29. Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou for my sake? For God would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his spirit among all of them." This, my young friends, is the Spirit of God showing itself forth in a little unnamed Jewish slave girl. Think about that. Think about what happened from that. Luke 10:33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and saw him and had compassion on him and went into him and bound his wounds and pouring out oil and wine, set him on his own beasts and brought him to an inn and cared for him." The Good Samaritan. He cared. He was interested in him. She cared about the physical well-being and the soul of her captor. She had compassion. But more than compassion, she had courage. This is a sensitive area. Are you strong enough in your faith to say, if you could just get to God, God would help you? She was. That is real courage. Here she's saying that there is somebody in Israel that can take care of your malady. There's nobody here that can. What would happen if that turned out to be false information? What would happen if she gave encouragement that maybe he could be cured and he wasn't cured? Well, she's got courage to give this information. We see something very personal in verse 11. "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And he turned and went away in a rage." This close to cleansing. But you know what? It wasn't the way he wanted it. He had another reason. There are better rivers in my homeland. Why should I yield by faith to this simple statement? Billy Sunday used to have a message that he preached on Naaman. Really interesting message. He called it Seven Ducks in a Muddy Pond. And cleansing was brought to this man. But not only did she have compassion and courage, she had confidence. Her testimony came from compassion. But her testimony was given in confidence. How do you turn difficult situations into good situations? Have confidence in the Lord. Now, it is interesting the way she stated this, because the scripture clearly tells us that over 900 years later, in Luke 4:27, this is Jesus Christ speaking. "Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, but none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." That's Jesus Christ. That's little over 900 years later. He's still talking about this little Jewish maid. And he's talking about during the period of this one prophet, only one person was cured from leprosy. Why? Why? Because God looked at the faith of this little slave girl and he said, "I won't disappoint her." There's so many good things that came out of this terrible tragedy. And things that you'll see in a minute brought great power to the Lord. Moses said in Numbers 14:8, "If the Lord delight in us, he'll bring us into this land." There was total confidence in Moses that God could deliver the land to them. David said in Psalm 3, 4, and 6, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard out of his holy hill. He laid me down, and I slept, and I awaked, and the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me and round about me. This is when he's fleeing from Absalom, his son, who's trying to usurp the throne. And what did he do? He prayed and he took a nap. The armies of Absalom are after him in the wilderness. And he simply prayed this prayer I read to you and he took a nap. When you get in a crisis and great burden and you're overwhelmed by things that you don't like around you, can you pray and take a nap? Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Isaiah 12, 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust in him and I will not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Peter said in the New Testament, I know him in whom I believe it, and I'm confident that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Do you have compassion? Do you have courage? Do you have confidence? Those things are necessary for you to lead people to the Lord you serve. And this little girl had them. The last thing I want you to see is her spiritual attitude toward her clergyman. Look again at verse 3. She said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. I read that statement and I'm kind of overwhelmed. A teenage captive, a slave in the home of a general. And she said, if he could get to Elisha, Elisha could heal him. And in the New Testament, the Lord said he was healed. He was healed because of the faith of this little Jewish maid in terrible circumstances in her life. And yet she was victorious in turning this man to God. But it went further than that. She'd learned, first of all, that Elisha could help. We learn from those that God's placed over us as spiritual leaders. First time Naaman heard the instruction of a spiritual leader, he rejected it and he went away raw. But after he was cleansed, his attitude was so different. There's so many sermons in this passage of Scripture. He was changed totally and completely. Acts chapter 8, verse 30. Philip ran thither unto him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, I understand what thou readest. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart and thou mayest. And he answered and said unto him, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God sent one of his people in his timing to his place to start another revival. Are you in the will of God? Are you following the will of God? Are you handling the circumstances of life that will surely come to all of us? The burdens and the problems. God's always appointed people to lead in his ministry. Moses, the children of Israel. Paul, the Jews. Peter, the Gentiles. Even when your circumstances do not suit you, the Scripture is true. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. His opportunity to use you to change things. What else did she know? She knew that Elisha could and would help this general. Do you believe that God can and will help those that you try to lead to him? Do you believe that with all your heart, like this little girl did? This would so change our approach to our life and to Christianity. What faith! She understood the heart of the prophets of God. For he would recover him. Look at verse 14 in this passage. Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Not just clean because he'd been in the water, clean because he exercised faith in the words of the man of God. And he wasn't just washed off and the dirt washed away from him. His flesh was like the flesh of a little child. He was made new. That's what salvation will do to people that are lost. They'll be made new. Well, look at verse 15. He returned to the man of God and all his company and came and stood before him and said, "Behold now, I know there's no God in the earth but in Israel. Therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." And then verse 17, "For thy servant henceforth will offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord, unto Jehovah," the personal name of God. And this is a passage out of one of the Jewish historical writings about the third century before Christ. He said, "He became a proselyte of righteousness, embraced the true religion and the worship of the one true God according to the laws given to Israel. In the following words, he rightly understood God, and he confirmed it in his life." What happened? A heathen nation that God used to correct his nation, and a little girl that God used to change the heathen nation, as this man came home with this, what he brought with him in verse 17, two mule loads of dirt. Most Jews believe from the house of Elisha. And he built an altar. And there he began to proselyte people to the real God, Jehovah. And a revival starts in a nation. Hey, how did we get a revival of a heathen nation out of one little Jewish captive? How in the world did this happen? Because God often changes disasters into delight. God is all powerful. He's all omnipotent. And God himself gave us this story that we might learn and that we might walk in the same way. Be careful next time you fall into crisis of how you handle it. And take this little Jewish maid as an example of how God wants you to handle it. And then you'll see the blessings of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage and for the truth in it. Help us to realize it and to practice it. In Jesus' name, amen.